Early in Christ's ministry, people began to notice something very different about him. It was soon after he had called his first four disciples. He called Simon and Andrew, the brothers, and then James and John, the fishermen who were there together with them. And these four followed him, and they came from Galilee to Capernaum. And on the Sabbath day, Jesus taught in the synagogue there. And that's when people began to notice something very important about him. You can turn to Mark chapter 1, and we'll see this. And it's a good place to start on the subject of this aspect of the Messiah, because it's early in his ministry, and it's something that is so evidently noticed by the people who heard him speak. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 22, and they were astonished at his teaching. This is then in that synagogue in Capernaum. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. Throughout his ministry, this was something that set him apart from everyone else. He spoke with authority, and he worked in such a way that people noticed that it was with a great deal of authority behind what he was doing and accomplishing. And I want to speak today about the authority of the Messiah and how it is such a great blessing for us all that he is in charge of the church, that he is the one who is loyal to the Father in the delegation that was given to him of authority. And we'll see this as we go on. But Jesus not only spoke with authority, he also worked with the authority that had been given to him. You might remember at the Sermon on the Mount, that long sermon in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and Matthew wrote that the people were astonished at his teaching. Again, we saw that several times throughout his ministry. It says, for he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. So that was the hallmark of his way of teaching, was with great authority before the people. And when it was the contrast there being with the scribes, was that when most of the other speakers who were trained, who were professionally educated and trained in their speaking and in the leading of the religious services at the time, they always quoted other people before them. Their teachers are the ones before them, or even hundreds of years before. Christ didn't do that. He spoke with the authority that God had given him, and he spoke with the words that the Father had given him. He backed up his spoken word with actions as well. You can read continuing here in the same chapter of Mark 1 and picking it up in verse 23. And you see something else that's so important about the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, this unclean spirit cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? So apparently more than one unclean spirit had afflicted this gentleman, but one of them cried out this way. He said, did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now this would have been something quite dramatic in the synagogue on that Sabbath day. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And you see this authority in his speaking, and in the miraculous works that he did throughout his entire ministry. It says in verse 28, and immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Something was so different about this man who showed up on that Sabbath day and preached to them. with authority. Jesus had authority to do many great and miraculous works. As I mentioned, more than 3 years ago, when I began this series on the Messiah, we gave a series of messages that spoke of many different qualities of his ministry, of his character. And it's a really good time for me to finish this series now, to begin almost like a new series, but it's going to add and finish what we started before. And it relates very well with the goal that we have before, between last feast and the feast coming, that we would go on to perfection. And some of the things that we can cover about the Messiah in the next several sermons that I plan to give will help us along that way. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has great authority. And so today the purpose of this message is to see this truth more clearly in the scriptures and understand more fully how important it is and what a great blessing it is to all of us. A short definition of authority we could see just by looking up in some of the concordances and the dictionaries of the biblical words, the Greek words translated into the English. And we see this word authority is sometimes translated power. And it's not just that you have that he had the authority, but he also had the power that would back up that authority. The Greek word is ekousia. And in Strong's Concordance, it's number 1849. And I use that number so that I could track and make sure as I was studying, we're talking about the same word so that the context of the message would be accurate. This word means delegated authority. Christ had authority. It was delegated from the Father to him. It's that kind of delegated authority that we're talking about. And it first denotes the freedom to act, and then the authority for the action. So complete authority to do what he was doing. This kind of authority is true, it says in Vine's Expository Dictionary, it's first true of God, our Father. He alone, for instance, knows the day and the hour when Jesus Christ will return. It's in his authority. The angels don't know that. God alone knows that. The Father gave authority to his Son, and that will be the focus of this message. The NIV Bible has a note on Mark 1 and verse 22, and the note is this: it was Christ's inherent authority that amazed. The people at the synagogue, they were amazed at what he said and then at what he did. It was his inherent authority that amazed them. He did not quote human authorities, as did the teachers of the law, because his authority was directly from God. And what he said came straight from the Father himself. The NIV note goes on, the teachers of the law in that day were the Jewish scholars of the day, professionally trained in the development. That's interesting, in the development of the teaching and the application of Old Testament law. Their authority was strictly human and traditional. And Christ came head to head with that several times during his ministry. The Companion Bible has a note, and it says, he taught as one having divine authority, as from the mouth of God. And indeed, we see that Christ points this out himself. Jesus makes it very clear that it is his Father who gave him the authority. And we always need to remember this, as Christ was so careful to teach us. Look in John chapter 7. I want to look at some of the things that Christ said about this authority that was his, that was given to him. In John 7, verse 16 and 17, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. You see the humbleness of Christ. You see his loyalty to his Father, and that comes out so often in this aspect of his character. My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. This word here, authority, is implied. Whether he speaks on his own. Where did he get the message, the words that he brought? From the Father. He brought them directly from the Father. This is the first of seven different times that Jesus said the words he spoke were the words of the Father and not his own, because they were delegated. The authority to bring that message had been given to him. And he spoke with authority. He spoke as one who was speaking from the mouth of God. It said there, the beginning of verse 17, if anyone wills to do his will, we should all think about that and consider it in our own lives. If anyone wills to do his will, if we choose to submit to his authority, if we choose to be submissive, to yield to him, to hear those words coming from him, recorded for us now in the scriptures, if we choose to submit to his authority, that's where we should be, brethren, all of us, all the time. In John chapter 12, in verse 49, and I'm staying today mostly in the book of John. We'll see a few other things as well, but Christ so clearly pointed these things out here, speaking of the authority that had been given to him and how he used it and what it meant for the church and for the world. In John 12, verse 49, again, we see, he says, where it comes from. It says, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave a command, what I should say, what I should speak. So when we read the words that Jesus Christ spoke, we know they are the words of the Father that he brought to us. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Do you see the great blessing that comes from this kind of authority, from God himself, brought to us by Jesus Christ, that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, because it's everlasting life that's at stake, therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. This would help him to complete the mission. And not just the words, but the actions and all of the different ways that he would fulfill the delegation of authority from the Father to himself. And so he was guided by that. The message he came to deliver, the gospel of the kingdom of God, was the message that the Father had given him to teach. In verse 50, it says, and I know, again, that his command is everlasting life. And God has sent his Son to save the world. A great commission that he would have been given, a great authority to do everything to help that happen. It's a message that leads to everlasting life. We talk about the authority of Jesus Christ. This is why it's there, for the purpose to bring us into the family of God. He was loyal to his Father's teaching. He yielded to the authority of the Father. And we should therefore yield to the authority of Jesus Christ, who brought the Father's message for us. Having the authority from God to teach the truth, Jesus also had the authority to do the works of God. We've read of some already in Mark chapter 1. Look in Matthew 9. We'll read a few verses here. Matthew 9, verse 1 through 8. This is one of those instances where we can see a great miraculous work that's being done, and then we see the authority for that work, how it was granted, and how Jesus Christ explains it. Beginning in verse 1, "So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came on to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, 'Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you.' And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemes.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? Both are miraculous things. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power,'" and this word power is that same word, the authority, "'so you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins.'" That's a lot of power. That's a lot of authority. And it comes from God and brought to us by Jesus Christ. "Then he said to the paralytic, 'Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men." What a great blessing that was, that Jesus Christ had the authority, the power to forgive that man's sins. We don't know how he was made a paralytic, but in the process, in the context here, Christ is saying, your sins are forgiven. Perhaps something he did, some dumb mistake, and he found himself paralyzed. And Christ said, your sins are forgiven. The authority to forgive sins. The authority to heal. Miraculous things. He had the authority to do great and wondrous things. Authority can be so very positive in its effect. Oftentimes when we think of authority in the world we live in, there's a lot of people who don't like authority. But there's a lot of people who do. A lot of reason to be appreciative of the authority of Jesus Christ. In John 14, that night of Passover, and Christ is speaking with his disciples, he spoke to them in depth about the authority that had been given to him. On that night, there are many different instances when Christ spoke of having been given something from the Father. And John 14 and verse 10, he says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." See, in this one verse, the speaking and the works. We see this that comes right through that authority. The Father who dwells in me does the works. So as Christ was performing the miracles, the Father was working, helping those people, changing their hearts. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. These miraculous works that Jesus Christ had the authority to do would help us to believe the words of God our Father, the words of salvation given to us by Christ himself. You see how often he reminded people, this isn't from me, I'm bringing you the words of the Father. He gave the authority and he backs it up in this way. These words were not of human origin. And the works that he did were inseparably connected to the words that he spoke. In John chapter 5, verse 26 and 27, We see something so beautiful here. In John 5, verse 26, "For as the Father has life in himself, so has he granted the Son to have life in himself." God has delegated this incredible and powerful authority of life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. To execute judgment means to help others to understand that God will forgive them, that he will help them to come through the darkness of this age to the light of Jesus Christ. He will help them to become everlasting sons and daughters in his family. He's given him life in himself, in Christ, to give to us. He says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice." We'll hear the words of God through Jesus Christ calling them forth. What a beautiful thing that we can see. God has granted authority to the Son to judge, to bring life to those who heed the call of God our Father. There's an example of how Jesus used the authority that God had given to him. One of many, but the one I want to bring out is in John chapter 10. Speaking and following up on that one we just read about to have life in himself. In John chapter 10, in verse 14 through 18, he's speaking of Christ in the role of the Good Shepherd. And notice some of these beautiful and wonderful things that he does, because he has the authority to do it. "I am the good shepherd," he says, "and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As my Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Notice he's saying, "I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold." That's such a blessing, too, if we think about it, and we could expand from what he was saying here, not of this fold, but of the soon after his resurrection, soon when the church was begun, and the word began to go to other nations of the world, too, and not just to the Jewish people. Sheep which are not of this fold, in our day and age, we can be so hopeful in what that means and who they might be. He says, "Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice." They will hear the words of God that he brings to them with the authority that God has granted him to do. "And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." He's the one who had the authority to do this, to lay down his own life. The Father had given him that authority. "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself." We speak of authority to do something, and we see the example of what Jesus Christ did with this authority that the Father had granted him. "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." It comes directly from the Father to him. "You make this choice. You have the authority to make this choice." And he did. What a great example of the beautiful and powerful and loving authority of Jesus Christ, who did something for us that we so very, very much needed. The NIV note says here, "Christ obediently chose to die." Otherwise, no one would have had the power to kill him. We see how his use of authority was backed with such love and such character and such incredible hope for all of us. Jesus gave an account that Passover evening with his disciples, and afterwards he went out to pray. It's just him and the Father. It's just his words to his Father. He's giving an account of the work that he had done. You see in John 17, verse 1 and 2, and Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you." He had made that choice that he said in John 10 that was his to make. And now, in his prayer, he's speaking again of these things. Verse 2. "As you have given him authority over all flesh," Jesus Christ had this authority. It was awesomely powerful authority given to him by his Father and ours. "As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him." I think it's like 8 or 10 times in this one chapter, and Christ speaks of what the Father had given him. Delegated authority, love, a family, hope, all these things are here. We see that this authority that was there, this chapter emphasizes that throughout this entire prayer. In verse 4 it says, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." The Father had delegated to him, given him the authority to do great and miraculous works, and he did. And he said, "I have finished the work that you gave me the authority to do on this earth." In verse 8, it says, "For I have given to them," his disciples that he was praying for at the time, "I have given to them the words which you have given me. They have received them and known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me." This is like someone who, this is not like, this is Christ giving an account before he died, that the authority the Father had given him, the things he had been sent to accomplish, he had done. He gave them the words. He showed them the works. He followed through on the authority that was there. What a powerful way to see it in his words, in a prayer to the Father. Jesus delegated authority to his disciples, and he still does. During his ministry, there was a time, Luke records it in chapter 9, when he sent out the 12 disciples, that time when he told them, he gave them the power and authority. He delegated to them what had been given to him, and he sent them out to preach the words that he had brought from the Father. And he gave them the power to heal and the power to cast out demons. He gave them delegated authority, and he still does to his people, because the mission goes on, because the power and the authority that God gave to Christ is meant to last forever, to be passed on. This began a new phase when he sent his 12 disciples out. Jesus began delegating that power over evil spirits, even doing the kind of work that he had done with the power and authority that was given to him. He sent them to preach, it says, the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick, doing the same things that he had taught them. In Matthew 28, this was mentioned in the first message as well, we see the delegation of authority, but we see also the receiving of it. We see both things here. As Christ had, after his resurrection, after he ascended to the Father, and now just at the end of that time when he was with his disciples, before he was taken back to heaven, he was with them for 40 days. It's during that time period when we read this in Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." This was newly established authority. This was in addition to what he had before. All authority has been given. That's in the present tense. That's in a very recent tense he's speaking there, if you look at the Greek words. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We speak of the authority of the Messiah. We see that God exalted him to a greater position after his resurrection than he had before, which is awesome already. But God speaks of this, and Christ said, all authority. And then he says to his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. He delegated this authority to his disciples, and it's been the way that his word has been spread from that day till now, and ever will be. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, speaking those words that he taught, the words of the Father, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. This is what the apostles did. And brethren, this is what we still do. All of us. There's some who stand before God's people on the Sabbath and preach. There's some who preach to the world and write articles. But every one of us is part of this. He's delegated to you and to me that we should be lights in the world. He speaks of it. For instance, when we gather on Passover evening, and I want to look this up for you and read it when we're much closer to that date. Our observance of Passover is proclaiming the gospel. Every one of us has a part in this. We have been granted that authority by God, whether we're parents for our children, husband and wife for each other, a worker for his master, or a master for his worker. Wherever we are, we can be preaching this way by the way we live, things we do. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard," which you heard from us, Paul says, "you welcomed it, not as the word of men, not from the scribes, not as the word of people who think they have some understanding and they just want you to think the way they do. It's not that at all. You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." We have the blessing of being able to understand the same words that Jesus Christ spoke, the words of the Father, through the authority that Jesus Christ has given for these words to be spoken to us, the words of God. "For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things." We go through those things in our lives, in our calling. And we see this. And he thanked God for that without ceasing for them. Because now this authority that belonged to Jesus Christ, which he gave to his church, was helping others to learn and grow, believing the same words, seeking the same salvation. The Father has given authority to Jesus Christ, and we are so very blessed as a result. In Ephesians, let's finish with this passage, which you know me by now. This is one of my favorite passages because it's just so inspiring. In Ephesians 1, I'm going to pick it up in verse 15 and read through verse 23. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave him authority, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. When you hear those same words, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That the mission of Jesus Christ can be accomplished in your life too, as it has been in many others. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? And that word power is the same. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. I just said something that I want to take back. Those words in that verse are not the same as the word power. They're very similar, but not exactly the same. The one that's the same is in the next verse. Which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right places, at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power. There it is. And all principality and authority. He seated Jesus Christ. As I was mentioning from Matthew 28, when Christ said, all authority has been given, Paul is speaking of that here. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. Christ has the authority of the Messiah over all things, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. We look to him with his great loving authority. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Brethren, God sent his Son into the world to save the world, and he gave him the authority to do everything that will bring his plan and his purpose to complete fulfillment. And we can be so very blessed because Jesus Christ has the authority to be our Messiah.